In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to us, your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. "I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever." Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness. I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing joyfully at your righteousness. A reading from Philippians. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired around about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know what some of you might be thinking after hearing this parable. You're sitting here saying, I come here on a regular basis. Maybe you're part of a family legacy here, right? Family's always sitting in certain pews. You're doing what you can to support the mission of the church. You certainly could make the argument, maybe you wouldn't say it out loud because you're good, humble Lutherans, but you could certainly make the argument that, juggling more than some of my other Christian friends and making sure I have time for church life and other things in life. Certainly there are neighbors that don't feel it's necessary at all to work in God's vineyard. And God's going to treat everybody the same in the end? That doesn't seem right. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm saying it for you, right? You're thinking it. I'm giving you a pass here. But this parable affirms what Lutheran Christians are known for pointing out, that our works do not earn our favor with God. Again, we're given a parable that emphasizes the mercy of God. We heard that last week with the debt forgiveness. And now we're pondering a generosity that conflicts with our understanding of fairness in the world. Now, some ancient theologians believed that the ones hired at different times represent the different generations of Israel. Adam, Moses, Abraham, and the last hour, Gentiles. So if you were thinking about fairness, like we're part of that last hour, right? So now that might change how you hear it a little bit now. Like, oh no, this is good. This is right and just. And just before this parable, Peter is speaking on behalf of the disciples and says to Jesus in chapter 19, verse 27, look, we have left everything and followed you. So Jesus might be speaking about the original followers and later converts. But in each idea, we see this idea that God is just towards everyone. Hard work, feeling like we deserve what we've supposedly earned. And we're reminded of parables like this that show that God is not biased to the deserving and the undeserving. God continues to seek us out, desiring everyone to experience the benefits of the kingdom whenever we take part. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, for God shows no partiality. In Acts chapter 10, 34, Peter says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. So we get lost when we focus on our work and not God's generosity. That's where we get caught up in all this. Now, in the parable, the agreement is for a daily wage. When we go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, the prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples is for God to give us each day what? Our daily bread, right? So what we're talking about here is enough for one's daily bread. That's the wage that was negotiated. As I refer to often, Luther's Small Catechism, daily bread is something that God desires for all people. He even explicitly says, even evil people. And daily bread in that section has a long list of things that are needed to provide necessity and nourishment for our bodies. So now let's think about how this parable can rub us the wrong way, myself included. I want to be clear on this, right? I stand here today and tell you, God is generous. Who here is going to agree? Disagree, right? Everybody, you might even throw an amen, right? God is generous. I stand here and tell you that God desires all people to have daily bread. Anybody going to disagree with that? No, you agree. I stand here and tell you that daily bread means all things that are necessary for life that include food, drink, clothing, and shelter. Wait a minute. Aren't people supposed to be working and earning those things? Ah, now we're hitting some of the rub here, right? Now it's something that this doesn't seem fair from an economic standpoint. Dorothy Day was part of a Catholic worker movement and is known for her activism in social justice campaigns that cared for the poor and the homeless. And regarding this parable, she said, Jesus spoke of a living wage, not equal pay for equal work, in the parable of those who came at the first and the 11th hour. The inbreaking of God's kingdom is a threat to the world because it seeks to ensure that all people are cared for, as opposed to seeing the competitive struggle and inequality that we experience in our marketplace as fair and just and not just inherently sinful. It makes us uncomfortable because we're always tempted to put our faith and trust in what we are doing and not what God has done and what God is doing. You can't earn God's love. You can't pay for God's mercy. And now if you're sitting here and you insist to put your faith and trust in you alone, I would remind you that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is, but it goes on. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we look at parables like this that describe God's mercy and generosity and think that it just isn't fair, let's look to the cross and ponder how unfair that is, how unjust that is. And give thanks for the work and faithfulness of Christ that we are given eternal life as a gift, not for anything we do, or for God has done in Jesus Christ. We put our faith and work in the work of Christ, not in our work. And the cross then becomes a testament to the mercy and generosity of God. When we think about who deserves and who doesn't deserve, I'm going to make it easy for you. God doesn't, he says it's everybody, right? So I just saved you a lot of stress and mental capacity. God says, you put those categories together, not me. Everybody is deserving. And so we must look to our life and ministry in the church and our life as Christians, not as work that earns us anything, but the blessing to be able to work in God's vineyard to begin with. That there are blessings to be working in this vineyard. That we can be signposts to others of the God's kingdom that is here on earth. That when we gather for worship, we don't rejoice in our work, but in God's work. We aren't reminded about how wonderful we are, but how merciful God is. Through the means of grace that we receive in word and sacrament, we don't receive what we're worth by the rules of this broken world, but in God's vineyard, in God's kingdom, we're worth a lot to our God. And God wants to hold us as close as possible and to remind us always of God's eternal and abiding love, that God is with us always. So some Christians want to be workers in the vineyard because they're told the lie that they will prosper in wealth and health. Some Christians want to work in the vineyard because they're told the lie that their work will earn them favor with God. Some Christians want to work in the vineyard because they're told that they need to be afraid of God's wrath, and if they don't work hard enough, God might not love them anymore. We share the good news of our faith that we get to be workers in God's vineyard because our God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. We get to share the love of God, who is gracious and merciful, and live a life that is a testament to God's steadfast love. Not worried about what we're going to get next. Not worried if God's love is conditional. Not afraid if God is fickle. But responding to the God who is love. Think about those different characterizations that we see lived out in Christianity in our society. Working in God's kingdom because it might get me health and wealth? Me. Working in God's kingdom because I might get more favor with me. Afraid that God might not like me. But responding to God's love? Oh, it's about something else now. It's a life grounded in love for God and neighbor. It's a whole new way of living out our faith. It's a whole new way of even understanding the nature of God. Notice in the Lord's Prayer, we don't say, "Give me this day my daily bread." What do we say? "Give us this day our daily bread." We pray that God's desire and generosity for all people, the deserving and the undeserving, the good and the evil, will be given and received. Now I think about how our feeding ministries are a testament to God's generosity. That desire for daily bread for all people. And that invitation that we've even been given recently to expand. Our midweek meals are growing. Our backpack ministry expanded this year into another school. And there's practical aspects that goes along with that. We wonder, are we going to have enough? Perhaps it's some of that farmer mentality, right? Thinking pretty reserved and conservatively. I think the blessing I've learned from people here is we don't have a lot. We always have enough, right? Isn't that beautiful? That's God's kingdom, right? We don't have a lot. We always have enough, right? Through the generosity of this congregation, more and more people in our community can have daily bread that God desires and that we pray for. So may we not forget to give thanks for the daily bread that we receive every day. May we look to the cross and give thanks for God's mercy that gives us new and eternal life. And let's also rejoice in the fact that God's not fair. Isn't that wonderful? God isn't fair. God isn't fair. But God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits seated at the right hand of the Father.
Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. God, who is gracious and merciful, teach your church to invite and welcome all. Lead us to be grateful for the blessing of community. Challenge your church to choose equity and compassion over judgment. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Merciful God. God, who sends the wind and the sun, you know every worm and bush by name. Help us remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you. Show us how best to care for the earth and its creatures. Merciful God. God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassionate wisdom to legislators, judges, members of the military, and law enforcement. Give them courage to serve their communities in times of uncertainty, stress, or exhaustion. Merciful God. God, who saves, direct your people who are tempted by evil ways. Protect your children from calamity and disaster. Strengthen all who are incarcerated. Encourage all who are in despair or pain of any kind, especially those impacted by the wildfires in Maui, Hawaii, the hurricanes in the south and east coasts, the earthquake in Morocco, and the flooding in Libya. Charlie, Justin, Mike, Susie, Scott, Connie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Scott, Pat, Dixon, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Carolyn, Phyllis, Dave, Donna, Melina, Harry, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Bill, Art, Mary, Carol, and Tracy's family and our homebound. Merciful God. God, who is slow to anger, may we boast about the goodness of Jesus with the confidence of Paul in prison. Inspire us to find abundance in whatever vocation we are called to in the world and in service to our congregation. Merciful God. God, who abounds in steadfast love, we give thanks for the saints called to the kingdom of heaven. United with them in spirit, hold us firm as we labor this life and look to the life to come. Merciful God.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these in the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Let's pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water, you molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit, you call to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions, as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing, until needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb. Through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O Living One, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I invite forward those helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. We'll receive the sacrament kneeling around the altar, and usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive the glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Announcements for the good of the community.
It is Welka's attempt to be reaching out to our people, both here in our congregation and also in our conference. In our congregation, we are signing cards back here at the table in the narthex on occasion to remember people that are have maybe a special need. And I count on you to help me to find those people that have special needs. But I would like to bring two people to your attention that we will be sending cards to next week. Number one is we have a couple people in our flock that are not local and are in need of some prayers. One would be Art Ruth. Art is in Florida. This last week he had surgery on removing part of his colon. He was transferred from a trauma unit back to an ICU unit and is in a critical condition for the next couple days, so additional prayers would be wise. I think it would be our job to go out and reach to him, so a card will be put in the narthex pretty much on a weekly basis, just to let him know that we are thinking of him and our prayers are with him. These were the result of a car accident that he was in a couple weeks ago. The other person is Debbie Green. We've had Debbie on our prayer chain for quite a while. Debbie has had a successful lung transplant, but will be at the Cleveland Clinic for at least 3 months. And so being away from home and away from the area, again, we will be remembering her on spasmodic occasions with cards. And again, if you know of anybody that has a particular need for that, let me know and let's reach out to those people that maybe not be able to be with us, but that appreciate that card. Secondly, in the conference level, in the back of on the sunshine table in the back, we have an opportunity to reach out to Chadwick. And Chadwick is where we have one of our own members, Carol Witzel. We are bringing in things that would be in-kind offering items to be used on October the 14th when we gather. Anything that would be a small bingo item, something that you think would be fun for them for bingo. Also attached with that in the back is a box for your prayers. The prayer, we are going to be putting together a prayer booklet, and this is on the whole Northwest conference level. So there's a place there for prayers. That's also in your bulletin as such with more detail. Today is the last day to sign up for those of you that might like to join me to go over to Chadwick on the 14th of October as we again reach out to some of the people with the Alzheimer's idea. And that is where the conference level is going to be meeting. So I would encourage any of you that would like to join me, I would love to have you. That today is the last day to sign up for that. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board. Thank you.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.